Mary.
Pella Windows and Doors. Perfectly beautiful.
Hi, Terry Hall here. It's spring. When you're thinking of selling your home, start with figuring out what it's worth and what you can do to increase its value. My average days on the market for selling a home is less than 20 days. That's right. Your home sold in 20 days or less for the most amount of money. I've been helping people sell their home for 30 years. Let's start by meeting, going over what to do to get you the most money in the shortest time. Call me at 314-220-0524. That's 220-0524. Or email me at info@terryhall.net. That's info@terryhall.net.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worry on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pit-a-pat? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade. But I'm not afraid. This rover,
thank God it's Friday,
crossed over. If I never have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
Welcome to the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris, your 20% host, giving 100% of the effort, and joined, of course, by Ian and Dan and Tim, all here in the studio with me. Hi, guys. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Great. Thank you. Max, I'm doing well.
Max will be back on the show in an hour to talk about movies. He's got the new Transformers movie. This is the fifth movie in that series that I have no plans on seeing.
My daughter saw it last night.
Really? Well, she's in the Target demo.
She went to, and they saw Wonder Woman, too. They went to the Skyview Drive-In last night.
Oh, okay. So Max will tell us if it's worthwhile. Did your daughter like it?
I haven't talked to her.
Oh.
She sent me a text at like 2 in the morning and said, we're leaving now, leaving the drive-in. So I was like, I didn't feel like talking at 2 in the morning.
I can understand why. I don't even know why you're accepting texts at 2 o'clock in the morning. My phone is off at that time of the day. Coming up as our guest in about 20 minutes is a guy by the name of Finn Murphy, who for the last three decades plus has been a long-haul trucker, not a freight hauler, but when people have to move across the country, like you're moving from Seattle to St. Louis or St. Louis to Jacksonville or something like that, or even all the way across the country, he's one of those guys who does that, loads your stuff up, moves you, then unloads the stuff at the other end, and then deals with you complaining about the one. We can't find the whatever it is.
I did that one time.
You have?
I rode my bicycle to California. I was a dispatcher for United Van Lines, rode my bicycle to San Diego, had it hooked up with a United driver. From here. So I threw my bike in the back of the truck. And we dropped it off when we went through St. Louis. We went from St. Louis to Chicago to Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, on up the East Coast, New York, Queens, and unloaded furniture.
Was it fun?
It made money, but it's not fun. It's tough.
Yeah.
That is a really tough job.
Well, this guy's been doing it for 30 years.
Yeah.
He started when he was 21.
Unbelievable.
And in three decades he's been doing it, so he's got some stories.
Does he walk upright still?
I've seen video of him. He's not hunched over.
Okay. You rode a bike from St. Louis to California?
Yeah, let's get back to that.
Yeah.
I'm glad you went back to that, because like, I was about to. Here's one question I have. It just really applies. It's a one-word question.
No, I know it.
And it's not why. No, my question is Rockies? Question mark.
Rockies. Yeah, but there's passages you could take. And I took this. You take it to Colorado, go south, and then take a southern route.
Oh, you went around.
You kind of. You still got to go through them, but and it was. It just. It's funny because I, like I said, in between radio jobs, I was a dispatcher for about a year and a half, and I had this map of the United States in front of me. Well, then a friend of mine was in Austin. He did it from Austin to San Francisco, and then he joined the Marines. And I thought, you know, I'd like to do that sometime, minus the Marines, you know. So he sent me
nothing against the Marines. You just don't want to be there.
Right. Well, okay. He sent me his packs and his panniers, and I when I saved the money, and I just decided, you know what? Here's something. I spent all this time tracking where I'm going to go, and then this is before biking was
okay. But when you were doing this,
yes.
You were much younger, obviously.
Yes.
Did you know how to fix things on the bike when they broke?
Yes.
Because they inevitably break down.
Yes.
When I was a kid. In high school, I rode my bike everywhere. I didn't have a car.
That was your car.
That was the only way you could get around. You know, I'd have a friend who was like, he lived like 5 miles away. Well, my, you know, I wasn't going to get a lift from mom or dad. It's like, get on your bike and go there. And you're in traffic or, you know, back roads. You knew everything. And here are two things that I remember very, very well about that. Number one, when you're on a bike as opposed to in a car and you're going over roads, the same roads often enough, you know where every crack, every pothole,
right.
Every sewer that's misaligned is.
Right.
Because all you had to do is hit one of those once, and you never forget where that was. You know the ones where you have to stand up when you're going over the bump because it's a little bit
pull
too
it up
much.
So you go. Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly. So that's one of them. And the other one was I knew how to fix everything on the bike, including the rear derailleur, which is the really complicated part of that. It was nowhere near as complicated 40 years ago when I was doing this as it is today. Today, I would look at it and go, I have no idea.
Yeah.
But I could, you know, when it would break down, which would be often, I didn't have I didn't have an expensive bike. You know, I could pull over to the side of the road. I had the little pack hanging in that pouch behind the wheel, behind the seat, I mean. And, yeah, I could fix that up or put in a new...
Yeah, I got a how-to book, and I had been doing stuff on my bike anyway, and then you get a little spoke tightener, and even had a little chain repair kit, and so, you know, it's just, it fit on the thing right behind the seat.
Right.
A little bike. It was a Schwinn Latour. Yeah, it was a 10-speed, but it was a lightweight bike.
You know, this may not be the way it is now, but when you go and buy a bike now, there's no such thing as a 10-speed anymore.
No.
They're all
like 20, mountain bikes or,
They're all 16, 18 or 21-speed.
Yeah.
And when I bought one, like the last one, I still have the last one I bought a long time ago, and I got on it for the first time, I was used to the 10-speed mentality from my youth.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, when you're that, like 7th gear was pretty much everyday riding, and then if you were on a flat surface for long enough, you could get it up to 8th, 9th, 10th gear, that sort of stuff. 10th gear on a modern bike is nothing. It's like what you train your kid on.
I remember, you know, my mom, when I was a senior in high school, well, or way before then, my mom bought me AMF 10-speed with green stamps. Remember the
S&H green stamps?
S&H
green
stamps.
I was just telling my daughter about those last week. My wife and I were telling her, you don't know about a time when you had to go to the grocery store and get green stamps and then take them home. And my wife said, I still remember the taste,
the taste
of the licking the back of those.
Right. In a book you had.
You had to put it in the book.
Yeah.
And I told her my mom was a little bit nicer about it. She would put out a moist sponge. Because by the time we got around to putting them in the book, we had like 100 of them.
Right.
And she didn't want her kids licking this stuff and dying like Mrs. George Costanza.
Yeah.
What?
Right.
Susan.
Well, I remember her, you know, she had gotten me this 10-speed when I was an 8th grader, 9th grader or something. And it was one of those real heavy 10-speeds, you know. And I remember as a senior, all my junior year, I saved my tip money when I was a busboy. And in the summer before my senior year, I asked my dad, can you take me up to the Schwinn shop? And I paid cash, $185.
Ooh,
it was, that was the most exciting thing in my life at the time. A nice sky blue bicycle, lightweight. And I mean, and Paul, like you said, you know, in high school, I rode to school everywhere, rode to work, you know, in college. I mean, that was our car.
Right. Everywhere.
And it, in my first year in radio, it not necessarily was by choice, but like we've talked about before, you go to cash your check on Friday, and they go, money won't be there till Monday. So you don't have a car. You don't have a car for the weekend. Right. So
would you camp every night then?
I camped. Back then there were farmers that you could say what you were doing. I mean, people feed you. I mean, you go to campgrounds and that, and they go, hey, come on, we got a lot of extra. I slept in a couple of jails. I went into the small town
on purpose.
On purpose. I went into a couple of towns.
Move over on Sims here.
Yeah, right. I didn't even think about that. And I would tell the sheriff what I'm doing. And in my luggage, I had gotten a record check from St. Louis County to show I was clean, and
you carried that with you,
and I showed them, and then they would and they would let you. They, you know, you can sleep on the cot in the jail, or sometimes they'd say you could sleep on the couch.
I did not know you could turn yourself in for the night and leave in the morning.
Right. Wow. Luckily, what is it, Sheriff Arpaio?
Yes,
not involved.
Yeah. I heard some stories like that. There's a guy. I can't think of his name now, but he's known as the Love Life guy. I think he had a son die from suicide, and then a daughter die from drug overdose. So he's walked across the country like 4 or 5 times.
Oh, wow.
Yes, and he carries a Love Life sign, and he tells these stories all the time about how he goes into town and people will buy him dinner.
And
give him a place to stay. Or yeah.
Man.
They are not in Frank's neighborhood.
No.
What happened to the Love Life guy?
He died.
Yes.
We can't really go into the details.
He knocked on the wrong door.
Man, if I rode a bike from here to Lindbergh, I'm worn out.
Well, you know,
how many miles you do a day? Maybe 40, 50?
In the beginning, I started out, I did 100 miles. I rode from here at St. Louis to Jeff City. And then it just depends. Some days you could do, you know, you would only do 40 or 50. And then other days you would go 120. You know, it just depended on what your energy level was.
And the weather was another thing,
which I never, luckily, the 6 weeks I was gone, I did not run into much bad weather at all.
Wow, you're lucky.
But it's really interesting. I mean, it is funny that the people, you go to a campground and they see you setting up your tent and you're with a bike. You get to talking with them, and they'll invite you over to have, you don't know them from scratch. Today they wouldn't
it's
do that.
It's like the people that hike through the Appalachian Trail. There are a couple different trails like that where they're like 2,000-mile trails.
Yeah.
And it's a camaraderie thing where they can tell, you're going the whole way too. And
Phil Kogan, who's the host of The Amazing Race, who we've had on the show many times, I actually talked to him a couple of nights ago because he's got a movie that's coming out in St. Louis next month called Le Ride. Now, Phil made a documentary a few years ago when he rode his bike across the country. His dad was driving the I don't know what they call the car, the road next to the trailer.
The RV
that rode along with him, and he had a couple other guys riding with him, and he made a documentary then. And then he followed that up with this movie called Le Ride, which is reproducing the 1928 Tour de France route, which was according to the publicity for this, the most grueling route ever. And he did that, and they had a film crew with him, and they turned it into a documentary. And so I'm hoping to have him on here in a couple of weeks to talk about that before the movie debuts here in St. Louis. So,
wow.
Yeah, pretty cool.
I remember the first time I got on a 10-speed, and it was in first gear, and you're like, what is this? Because your legs are going really fast. And it's like, what is going on? Put it in a different speed.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'll tell you one thing that's really different then that, you know, now than it was then. Now everybody, I mean, it's so funny that people just, as soon as they get a bike, they got to go out and get the gear, you know, the shirt and the pants. And, and I had gym shorts, tennis shoes.
No helmet.
Socks. And what you do now, the bicycle pants have it built in. But what I used to do is just take a pair of gym shorts and stuff a chamois down there.
Oh, the pad?
Yeah, the pad. So you don't chafe. But now it's all built into the pants now. But I just can't bring myself to want to look.
How about this? Did you have a pants leg clip? to keep your pants from getting into the gears?
A rubber band.
Yeah, that's what I use. Yeah. That's exactly. When we're old enough that there were no such thing as pants clips. No. You had a rubber band that you put around there. At the end of the day, you would take it off,
right,
and your leg would have gotten bigger as you went along because the muscles were working. And you take it off, you go, wow, look at that. That thing was really, it was like a tourniquet I put on myself.
That's right, it was.
There was nothing worse than getting your pants leg caught in the gears of the chain.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, that's good. That's good. So, we're going to talk to a guy who did that in a truck in a little while. Before we get into anything else, right before we went on the air today, Ian was telling me that he was almost late for the show today because he was preparing some food for something that he's doing with his family this weekend. And one of the things that you put in there was shrimp, right?
Yes.
Did you cut the tails off?
No. No, I left them
okay. off. This is a pet peeve of mine.
You didn't cut the tails off?
This, I don't understand this. A few nights ago, we went to a Chinese restaurant. And I ordered a shrimp dish, and the shrimp came with the tails, the hard shell part of the tail still on there.
Yeah.
Now, this was cooked into with the vegetables and all that other stuff. Why would you leave that on there?
Now, see, with the pasta, yeah, I don't understand that. But yeah, this is like a shrimp boil kind of thing. So it's like a little handle. You can pick it up.
You don't need a handle.
A little handle.
I mean, I think the
sometimes
only...
Sometimes I do. It depends on
I think the only food you need a handle for is corn on the cob, because it's too hot to hold the ends, and you got to put in those corn on the cob holders that, by the way, if they don't look like corn on the cob, they're not authentic.
That's right.
But it drives me crazy when I order a shrimp dish, and they've left that on there. Yeah, you don't leave the tail on when you bring me barbecue. I don't get a pigtail stuck to my barbecue pork sandwich.
Well, then they're the ones, too, and I've seen this before. Usually, Asian buffets or something like that. It's the entire shrimp with the head still on it, all the legs on the body where you have to tear the whole thing apart to even
get it. Well, that happens when you go to like an all-you-can-eat place and they have a big shrimp bowl.
Yes.
It's okay. So everybody always takes too many, and then they spend like 20 minutes. It's six shrimp, but it takes you 20
minutes. All those
minutes.
Tiny little legs.
Yeah, peel those up, and then you forget to get one little piece of the shell, and you bite down, you go,
oh
man. What other food is served to us in its natural, with a handle?
Yeah.
You don't, you know.
And you hope the people deterred them, too, before that. Get rid of the D-vein. Take that black vein out or whatever, the digestive tract.
So that's just a pet peeve of mine, leaving the shrimp tails on. So stop doing that.
All right.
For Paul.
For me.
Yeah.
And then the last thing I got to mention, then we'll take a break and get to our guest. I was staying in a hotel last weekend because we traveled for my mom's 93rd birthday last weekend.
Wow.
We went to spend some time with her, and we stayed in a hotel. And Monday morning, we're getting up, and we're getting ready to go to the airport. We go down to the lobby, and they have a stack of USA Todays there. And I pick one up, and wow, is it light.
Yes.
It's more of a pamphlet these days than a newspaper. And, you know, it's free. In a hotel, USA Today, free.
Wow.
Sometimes they distribute it to all the rooms. They put it in front of the door to every room. Which I think is the entire distribution plan for USA Today.
Really?
But this is a newspaper that's been around for 35 years. I remember when USA Today launched in 1982, it was a big deal.
I remember that, too.
I'm sure you do, because it became every radio personality's show prep service.
Yeah.
It was full of tiny stories and factoids long before Twitter.
It was like Post-Dispatch. No, USA Today. Whoa, look at this.
Yeah.
And in the live section.
And it had eye-popping graphics, and the overnight sports was in there. No local paper had overnight sports.
That's right,
sports.
Yeah. It would say night. They didn't have the results because they had to go to press.
Like if the Cardinals played the Padres. The Post-Dispatch did not have the score in the morning, but USA Today did. So over the years, it became less and less relevant to anything, especially in the digital era. There's just, I looked through this thing. There were no stories I stopped on and I wanted to see. None of those little factoid graphs that I cared about. And also, very little advertising. There was one full-page ad in the news section. And then the weather map, which I'll get to in a second. The weather map had a sponsor. That was it. It was like, you know, when we have our weather or traffic sponsored on this radio station, that was what they had in USA Today. The whole rest of the news section, no other ads. And in the rest of the other three sections, maybe another page, page and a half of ads, which made me wonder, how are they still in business?
Mm-hmm.
How can they be making money enough? Now, I know Gannett is a huge organization. They own. Do they still own Channel 5?
I don't know. I don't know if they do or not.
I lost track of them.
Yeah.
But it's a huge communications conglomerate. Then I looked on the front to see, well, what do they charge if you were to buy USA Today? And by the way, I don't know anybody's ever actually purchased a USA Today. It's $2 an issue.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
$2, and it was something like 30 pages, maybe 25 pages. Ridiculous. It said in there, for home delivery, go to this website. And I went to the website, $225 a year. For information, by the way, that you can now get for free. Now, this is a problem that all newspapers are having. They're giving away the news for free. This was a big mistake when the internet started taking off 15 or 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. Everybody giving it all away for free so that nobody has to pay for it. And that's why a lot of these places are going out of business. But there are some newspapers, the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, other national newspapers, that have been able to convert that to digital revenue, and they have a lot of digital subscribers. There are people who subscribe to, you know, the Washington Post, for instance. They never get the newspaper, but they have free access to all the articles online because they do it that way.
But nothing irritates me more, though, when I go to click on a story,
it's got a firewall.
Log in for it, and I go, and I couldn't close the X fast enough.
You don't care about that story anymore.
No,
But if you think about it, we do in some way have to pay for the professionals who are gathering our news. But that's a discussion for another day. I have no idea how USA Today, which is not nearly as good as those other companies I just mentioned, at doing the digital revenue thing.
Mm-hmm.
Ella, let me go back to the weather map. Why in the year 2017 is the weather in the newspaper?
I know.
That's true.
I know.
That's true. You're right.
Even if you don't have a smartphone, which is a very small percentage of people, you have a television and a radio. Mm-hmm. The old method of finding out what was happening. And by the way, you can turn on any radio station or any TV station, and within 10 minutes, you know what the weather is going to be for your area.
Yep.
Now, maybe it's really important for you to find out what the high and low today are going to be in Santa Fe. Okay, maybe. You can use your phone for that. The other thing that they have in newspapers, USA Today doesn't, but the other newspapers I mentioned, they have the stock price page.
Oh.
Where they tell you the closing price of the stocks, which is literally day-old information. Because the stock, like today's stock market, closed 35 minutes ago. I can go on my phone right now and get you the closing price of any stock you want.
Right.
Or you can wait until tomorrow morning to look it up in the newspaper.
I think it's still just those people. It's almost like tradition to them. And I would say probably 70-plus are the ones that are still...
Actually, that's a demographic that is starting to come on big time with technology.
Yes.
And this kind of tech, there are more people in that demo joining Facebook, et cetera, while the millennials are gone from Facebook. They've moved on. It's the senior citizens who are in there, and people like my 93-year-old mother are online every day checking news sites and email and that sort of stuff. She wouldn't need a newspaper. I'll tell you, the only person in our extended family who would use newspaper to check that information is my mother-in-law, who has no computer, who has no TV, who only listens to the public radio station. And, well, you know what? She does get newspapers delivered to her home, but she doesn't read them that day. There's always a pile of, like, 35 newspapers. I'm going to get to the... Don't throw those away! I'm going to get to those!
Oh, there's recipes that...
So, if she wants to know what the price of Facebook was 3.5 weeks ago, she can now find out!
A friend of mine called and said his wife pays $32 a year for the New York Times crossword puzzle, and she gets that. So I guess you can section things off because she loves that crossword.
Well, that's another example of how you're getting the
revenue.
Digital revenue.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. All right, we're desperately late here. Let me take a quick break, Ian, and then we'll come back and find our guest, the long-haul trucker, Finn Murphy, next here on the Big 550 KTRS.
Meet me.
And Tim Weiland has a check on traffic for you.
I'll tell you, this whole week has been a disaster, and it's winding down that same very way as far as driving goes. You had a major accident on north and southbound Highway 55 down in Festus. Northbound 55 is still shut down, traffic being diverted to Highway 67. Southbound has reopened. You're still a little bit slow from Highway A down through 67, and then things open up. Also, people coming northbound, I mean, that delay is miles long. They're getting off at 61, and that's jamming up all the way up to where it hooks up with 67. So there's no word when they're going to open that yet. Also, the ramp from westbound Highway 270 to Lindbergh is completely shut down due to an accident there, and we have a good backup that goes to New Flores. And eastbound Highway 270, that's running slow at McDonald's. Southbound 270, stop and go from 40 down through Doherty Ferry. They just cleared an incident on northbound 270 near Big Bend. Now you're still backed up to Highway 44. This traffic report brought to you by Staples. Staples is your office away from your office with everything you need to print, scan, or fax. Access files from a USB, email, or the cloud. Use self-service machines to get back to business. Staples, it's pro time. I'm Tim Weiland from the Jack Schmidt Ford Lincoln of Collinsville Traffic Desk.
Hi, I'm John Grayson for Premier Heating and Cooling. Now is the best time for you to give them a call at 636-916-1122, because as we get out of the cooler weather and into the hot weather, you want to make sure that your cooling system is ready to handle the task. Have Premier Heating and Cooling come out and give you a checkup. They are the most experienced and oldest American Standard customer care dealer in the St. Louis and St. Charles area. They work on and maintain every major brand of heating and cooling products. Their certified factory trained technicians are all fully licensed and insured and ready to do the job. They've been servicing the St. Louis and St. Charles area for many, many years, 25 years of experience in residential and commercial HVAC. And not only are they A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, but most of their business at Premier Heating and Cooling comes from people who were referred by family members or friends. Whether your needs are residential and they'll sit down and talk with you about the best plan for your system, or you're working with a commercial system, there is only one number to know, 636-916-1122. That's where you find Premier Heating and Cooling.
Are you looking for extra savings this summer? Turn to your neighbors at American Eagle Credit Union. You'll save with free checking that includes free bill pay, free e-deposit, and e-statements. Plus, not to mention free online and mobile access. Of course, all of this is with no minimum balance required. So why pay monthly checking fees when you can get it all for free at American Eagle Credit Union? They have branches throughout the St. Louis metropolitan area. Find out everything you need to know at ameaglecu.org.
Looking for a beautiful patio you can eat and relax on? You'll find it at Bishop's Post in Chesterfield. They're open for lunch Tuesday through Sunday and dinner Monday through Sunday. That's right, they're open on Sundays from 11 a.m. till 8 p.m. Bishop's Post is located off Chesterfield Parkway West next to Chesterfield Mall.
When the Big 550 KTRS needed electrical work done, they went with Stribe Company. You should too. For your electrical, media, and security needs, join the tribe and go with Stribe.
Firehouse Subs is proud to announce that now you can get the big taste of any of their 10 specialty subs in a new flavor-packed small size. New small subs start at just $3.99, and they're under 500 calories each. Firehouse Subs, founded by firemen.
The enchanting musical fantasy, Disney's The Little Mermaid, at the Muni now through the 29th. Sponsored by Emerson. Tickets available at Muni.org or at the Muni box office.
Now through July 5th, it's GNC's Summer Savings Event. Get hot value starting at $9.99 on your favorite essentials. Vitamins, fish oil, probiotics, and more. Change begins at GNC.
This is the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris. Finn Murphy has been a trucker for 30 years and has written about his life in a new book called The Long Haul, A Trucker's Tales of Life on the Road. Finn's job is to move people and their belongings. He loads it and unloads it onto his tractor trailer, carries it thousands of miles across the U.S., crisscrosses the country, encounters all sorts of characters, from clients to truckers to cops, and he's got some great stories in here, which I've asked him to join us now and share with you. Hi, Finn. How are you?
Good afternoon, Paul.
What is the difference between a mover, which you are, and like a freight hauler, long-distance trucker?
Well, there's a whole hierarchy, Paul, depending on what you haul, how you get paid, what kind of truck you drive. So movers, we're called bed buggers. There's all kinds of slang in here. You've got live animal haulers. We call them chicken chokers. Freight haulers, I think, just have their own name. I think we just call them freight haulers. Then flatbedders are called skateboarders. And hazardous material guys are called suicide jockeys.
Oh, man.
So in their mind, are you at the bottom of the pyramid?
Let's put it this way. In everybody's mind, whatever they haul, they're at the top of the pyramid. We think we're the best because we routinely put trucks where they're not supposed to go. Private residences, suburban cul-de-sacs.
That was one of the first questions I wanted to ask you. As a mover with a big, long tractor trailer, is there anything worse than a cul-de-sac?
Yeah, we go into places where people have trouble with a riding lawnmower, and I've got a 53-foot trailer. I run 72 feet long when I've got the tractor hooked up. Yeah, cul-de-sacs. In fact, my CB handle is U-turn. And that's because I do U-turns all the time from those cul-de-sacs and wherever I end up.
You don't still use a CB radio, do you, Finn?
I still do it a little bit, but I'm a geezer now. I'm 59. I've been doing this since 1980.
Wow. Wow. So I just want to tell one quick mover story. My wife and I have moved a few times in our life, although we've been in our current house for 18 years. There was a time when we moved out of one apartment and moved into another apartment a couple hundred miles away, and we had somebody move us because the new employer was going to pay for it, so why not have them pack us as well? And so they came in and said, you can leave, we'll take care of everything. And they did a great job, and they did it very quickly, and they packed everything up, and we didn't have much then, but they put everything on the truck and drove it to the next place. And when we were unpacking the boxes that they had moved into our new apartment, we found that they had packed a trash can, but the trash that had been in the trash can had been separately wrapped into newspaper. Because, their attitude was, we safeguard everything. We don't know if you have something in there you really need. So we just, you want us to take it? We pack it up and take it.
And right. No judgment there, Paul. We just pack it all up. We don't know what's important. I've moved some hoarders and other kinds of characters. And, the things that they think are important, they're paying for it. But that is the best way to move, isn't it, when somebody packs it all up and does it all for you?
It is. I told my wife we should hire somebody to unpack us, too.
The kind of work I do now. I do full packs and full unpacks for corporate clients. And, moving is one of the few things in life where if you throw money at it, it really makes your life easier.
So is there a science to packing all of somebody's stuff into the big trailer so it doesn't get damaged en route?
Well, that's right, if you don't want to break it. So for the kind of high-end corporate moves I do now, everything in the house gets wrapped. Everything gets put in moving pads. Everything gets shrink-wrapped. Nothing leaves the house at all unless it's either in a carton or it's wrapped. Even your garbage.
Yeah. I love that. You write in the book about some clients who did not treat you very well. In fact, one guy sticks out of my mind who you called Mr. Big in the book. Can you tell that story?
Yeah, so Mr. Big, he moved into this $25 million starter castle in Aspen.
Starter Colorado. Castle.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It had an Olympic pool in the basement and 11 bathrooms.
Wow.
Yeah, but he wouldn't let us use any of the 11 bathrooms. We had to use the porta potty down the road.
Are you serious?
No. We told him. We said, well, look, we have our own cleaning supplies. We do this kind of work all the time. We'll leave it the way we found it. And he said, no.
Oh.
I'm not having you proletarians in my bathroom.
Yeah, you might look at something.
Well, yeah. That's the irony of moving, Paul. We see everything. And we pack everything, so there are no secrets. So the intimacy is merciless and immediate. So, pretending that, we don't know everything about them is kind of odd.
Now, was he that way because he was worried about his stuff, that you might damage some of his stuff? Did you damage some of his stuff?
No, we didn't. He got a great move. I don't know. Some people, this is a working class job. My crews that help me unload... moving is like landscaping and house cleaning. These are all immigrant laborers, hardworking folks. A lot of times don't have a great grasp of English or whatever, but these are the people who do this work now. And I certainly show them respect. But some people aren't comfortable with that end of the labor pool.
Mm-hmm.
Snooty?
You can say that, yeah.
No brown people allowed in my house. the people you have helping you load and unload the truck, do they then ride with you, or is that a solo ride?
No, it's a solo ride. I have crews all over the country because I never know where I'm going to go. I go where the moves go.
Okay, so tell me how that has changed in the 27, 28 years you've been doing this. How has technology changed for you in the cab of that truck?
Oh, well, the trucks are so much more comfortable now. I've got an ergonomic seat that that fits all of my rolls and angles. I've got a double sleeper in the back with a Sealy Posturepedic mattress.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a microwave. I've got a refrigerator. I've got a DirecTV dish antenna at the top. It's wonderful. I mean, when I started in the 80s, I had some, you know, cab over thing with a sleeper I had to crawl into.
Yeah.
It was like a cave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, I would guess that GPS and satellite radio and that sort of stuff makes the drive go a little bit better.
No, it doesn't.
No.
This is totally counterintuitive.
You want to go back to the folding map?
I use the $69 Rand McNally Motor Carriers Road Atlas.
Really?
I do. And that's not because I'm a Luddite or don't like technology at all. It's because you need to get the route internalized in your mind about where you need to go.
Mm.
And that's what people don't do when they use navigation systems. The safety department in my company said that drivers get lost now three times more with using navigation than when they used Atlas.
That seems counterintuitive. You're exactly right. It's counterintuitive. How is that possible, Finn?
Because they don't know, they haven't looked at the route on you know, they haven't internalized it in terms of what it looks like and where they're supposed to go. They just, you know, they drive and listen to the voice, turn right here, turn left there. Well, these systems aren't really set up for trucks. So you might end up going under a low bridge. You might end up on a parkway where there's no trucks allowed.
Oh.
You might end up in a, you know, in a neighborhood or on certain cross streets where they don't want commercial vehicles. Yes, it's very different.
Well, this to me seems like there's a million-dollar idea sitting, waiting to be exploited, a trucker's version of Waze.
Yeah, well, they have one. Garmin has one, but it's not perfect.
Oh.
So you know what they call it when you drive a truck under an underpass and you wipe off the top of the trailer?
Oops.
It's called getting a haircut.
But while we're talking about technology, you probably know that Tesla and Google and these other companies are working on trucks that drive themselves. What's that going to do to the industry?
I've seen the YouTube video of that truck driving all around Nevada and across Hoover Dam and the drivers in the back and the sleeper lying down reading a magazine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's coming a lot sooner than we think.
Like how soon?
Like 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's that going to do to the business?
Well, for the long haul, guys are going to go first. And, I think within a decade, they're going to throw 2 million truck drivers out of work. That's how it looks to me.
Wow. So the part that you do by yourself, that job wouldn't exist anymore. They would just need those guys at the front and the back to load and unload.
Yes, I'm a dead man walking.
But is the technology, we're talking about technology 5 years from now, which is exponentially different from what it is now. But the trucks that they have now, they can do the highways, but they can't handle that backing into a cul-de-sac, can they?
I don't know.
Wow.
I mean, they're going to have to do that. Well, one thing that they were not going to be able to do for a while is to load somebody's household goods into a trailer safely and carefully. That's not going to change for a while.
Yeah. Hey, Tim's got a question for you, Finn.
So I wanted to ask you, I used to be a dispatcher at United Van Lines, and one of the worst things, do you get many wicker moves? And you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes. Wicker. We call it chowder.
It is. It, all the
hard
truckers.
To, hard to load stuff.
Why?
Because it's light. They get paid by the, you get paid by the poundage, right? And there's no weight in it.
So anything light and awkward.
So there's no money in it.
Outdoor furniture, wicker, barbecue grills, all that weird stuff.
So you want to hear, oh, they've got a grand piano.
Yeah, and a fireproof gun safe. I really like those.
You're right.
Speaking of heavy stuff, there's a story, another story from the book I'd like to tell about another driver named Mike and the 600-pound vault.
Oh, yeah. So sometimes when the load's really full in the trailer, we have to put make some extra room. So we'll take one of those storage vaults that you see. Sort of, it looks kind of like a pod, but it doesn't have pods written on it.
Yeah.
And we strap that to the back of the trailer, just in case, so we don't have an overflow. Because as Tim was a dispatcher, you know, overflows are the worst thing that can happen.
Right.
Yeah. So we strap this this vault onto the back, and this driver, he really took an instant dislike to me for some reason. And when I was walking around the back of the trailer, he let the strap go. And the thing came down, and he was trying to kill me with it. But fortunately, the one side was open, so the whole thing came down, and then I was strapped on the inside. But I didn't get squashed.
Wow. So the vault doors were open, and the vault came down on top of you, or this pod, or whatever you want to call it?
Yep, it came right down on top of me, and I was stuck inside, banging on the sides, trying to get out.
Wow. And that was that guy, because he was mad at you?
Yeah, he just didn't like me.
Yeah, his name was Buster Keaton.
Wow.
He tried to kill me the next day with a cargo bar. You know those metal bars inside the truck? He leaned one against the door and told me to open up the door. And then when I opened the door, the cargo bar came down. But fortunately, I was standing back and it missed me.
What a nice guy. Wow,
attempted murder twice.
Yeah.
Finn, while you were loading or unloading the trucks all these years, what's the most expensive thing you dropped or broke?
Ooh. Oh, I have to tell this, don't I?
Yes, you do. Because
yes,
I asked you.
So I completely destroyed a grand piano. That's the worst thing I ever did. I was putting so inside a lot of inside staircases. You can't use grand pianos; won't make the turn.
Yeah.
So I was using an outside staircase to the deck, and it only had a couple of joist hangers that were holding it on, and I hadn't really scoped it out properly. And when we were pushing the piano up and on a piano board, and when it got to the top, the joist hangers let go, and the whole piano dropped 14 feet down onto the ground, and it made one of those, it made a sound like the last chord in the Sgt. Pepper album.
Wow.
And you thought, okay, day in the life, perfect, this is a day in my life. Were the owners there, and did they see it?
Oh, yeah, they were there. They didn't see it. They were inside, but they heard it.
Wow.
Yep. And everybody, so fortunately, none of my guys were hurt, and I wasn't hurt. But, the owners ran outside, and they saw the piano in pieces there on the ground.
And you explained, this is why we have insurance.
I was pretty speechless.
I bet you were. Well, the book is full of all sorts of great stories from a life on the road for more than 30 years. It's called The Long Haul, A Trucker's Tales of Life on the Road. I know you basically wrote it by recording yourself onto cassette tapes as you drove across the country for years and years and years. And I'm glad you finally compiled it into an actual book that people can pick up and read, because it's a lot of fun, Finn.
Thanks, Paul. I think it was time for that truck driver book to come out. There hasn't been one.
Thanks for joining me today. Finn Thomas here on the Big 550 KTRS.
Meet me. And we got to check on traffic right now with Tim Weiland.
How interesting. I got to get that book. Because, I mean, just even having to do it that one time, it's really interesting. They live a different life, I'll tell you that. The ramp from westbound Highway 270 to Lindbergh has reopened, all right? Now, we do have some backups that goes still to New Flores, and that should be thinning out. Also, northbound Highway 170, that's still jammed up from Highway 70 up to 270, and hopefully that'll thin out also. Eastbound 270 jams up south of Highway 370. They still are diverting traffic to Highway 67 on northbound Highway 55 at Festus. That jam up goes south of Highway 61. 61 is jammed from 55 up to merge with 67, but it looks like they're making headway and getting this accident all cleared up, and hopefully the highway shall be reopened here shortly. This traffic report is brought to you by Staples. When your paper supply is in need of resupply, turn to Staples. Staples has everything you need to print at great prices. Right now, get special deals for even more savings in-store or on staples.com. Staples, it's pro time. I'm Tim Weiland from the Jack Schmidt Ford Lincoln of Collinsville Traffic Desk.
You're listening to the Large Morning Show in the afternoon with traffic updates from the best in the business. Tim Weiland to get you home.
My job is to get you from point A to point B with the least amount of hassle and the safest way possible.
Weekday mornings, wake up to McGraw in the Morning with Kelly Jackson. You'll get the latest from ABC News, the award-winning KTRS News Department, weather from Fox 2, and the latest traffic updates from the hardest-working traffic guy in radio. Yep, you guessed it, Tim Weiland. Traffic reports when you need them. The Big 550 KTRS. Depend on it.
Acme Homeowners Insurance, how can I help you?
My air conditioner broke down. I need to make a claim.
Oh, I'm sorry, but your homeowner's insurance doesn't cover air conditioner breakdowns.
What does it cover?
Home damage from things like lightning, meteors, even a fire-breathing dragon.
A dragon?
Yes, even a fire-breathing one.
But not my air conditioner.
Sorry.
But his air conditioner could have been covered with a home warranty from American Home Shield, plus components of 20 other major home systems and appliances, like his electrical system, plumbing, refrigerator, and more. For valuable free information, call 1-800-600-3168. Home insurance can cover what might happen. But a home warranty helps cover what will happen.
Now the washer won't work.
Life happens. Have a plan. Get a home warranty from American Home Shield. For valuable free information, call 1-800-600-3168. That's 1-800-600-3168. 1-800-600-3168.
Message and data rates may apply.
Oh my gosh, that's Frank Thomas.
No.
Yes, that's him. Go ahead.
Excuse me, are you Frank Thomas?
Yes, I am.
I bet you get recognized a lot.
I was a pretty good ball player.
You were?
Some people thought so.
Sorry, we recognize you from those Nugenix commercials.
Oh yeah? That's great.
So does Nugenix really work?
Oh yeah, I really can feel the difference. My workouts are better, and I feel a lot more energetic.
I wish my husband would use Nugenix.
It's so easy to get started. All you have to do is send one simple text.
Text the word JUDGE to 42424 for a complimentary bottle of award-winning Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Its unique man-boosting formula is powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help a man feel stronger, leaner, more energetic, and more passionate.
And you're going to like the difference, too.
Text JUDGE to 42424 for a complimentary bottle of Nugenix. Samples are not available in stores. Text JUDGE to 42424.
Need a new CPAP? Then we need you. We're CPAP.com, and we recently overstocked the world's best CPAP machines. Top-of-the-line devices from brands like ResMed and Philips Respironics. Call now and get one of these overstocked CPAPs for a fraction of the price. We'll even give you free next-day air shipping. Call 1-800-900-6135. The best part? No insurance needed. We're giving out these CPAPs at prices so low, they'll cost less than your copay and deductible through insurance. CPAP.com has shipped over 1 million orders and has the world's largest selection of CPAPs and accessories. With no retail overhead or costly middlemen, we're the best way to get comfortable, effective sleep apnea equipment at incredibly low prices. Again, CPAP.com has overstocked premium CPAPs. Call now to get a ResMed or Philips Respironics machine for a fraction of the price with free next-day air shipping. Call 1-800-900-6135. Hurry. When these overstocked CPAPs are gone, they're really gone. That's 1-800-900-6135.
It's hot.
You said it.
And getting hotter at Suburban Leisure Center. No, we're not just talking about the temperature outside. We're talking about the hot, sizzling prices inside Suburban Leisure Center.
What does that mean for you?
Well, head to Suburban Leisure Center to take advantage of tremendous savings on new patio sets up to 50% off. Suburban Leisure Center has a great selection of everything you'd need to have yourself a mini resort in your yard with patio furniture from all the top brands, plus umbrellas and just about everything you'd need that will make you go on the patio, and a tremendous savings up to 50% off. And because you can actually sit on the furniture and feel the quality at Suburban Leisure Center, it's a lot better than ordering on the internet and hoping that it looks like what you saw online.
Yeah, this doesn't look like it did in the picture.
With Suburban Leisure Center's unmatched selection and prices, you'll get what you need for less, up to 50% off. Suburban Leisure Center is on Olive, just a mile west of 141. Better merchandise at better prices at Suburban Leisure Center. Online at suburbanleisurecenter.com.
There's only one place to hear the best when it comes to news. ABC Radio News, the Edward R. Murrow winner for overall excellence, is heard exclusively on the Big 550.